Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Hopefully you're able to make it in without getting too wet. And thank you for being with us this afternoon, whether you're online or in person for our worship services this afternoon. The first song we're going to sing will be number 144.
Oh, worship the King.
Before we have our opening prayer in a few moments, we'll sing number 71. Number 71. Let's sing.
Let's pray together. Holy God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time of worship that we had this morning and again this evening. Help us, Father, to not take that for granted, because we know there are many forces that would strive to break Christianity, outlaw it, do whatever they can to destroy the faith in Christ. So we pray, Father, that you would protect our freedom, protect our freedom of worship, and may we be vigilant in the fight that we have before us to have our Christian faith. Help us not to believe that it's something that we will always have. Father, we pray that you would be with each of us, strengthen us, give us the fortitude to stand for you, regardless of whatever the circumstances may be. We thank you for your word, for the treasure and the guidance that it provides in our lives. We're mindful of the young people at High Rock this week. We pray that you would bless them in their study and influence these young souls to follow thee, follow you for the rest of their lives. Father, we ask your blessing on this service and our time together, and we pray that everything that we do would be to glorify your name. We ask you to forgive our sins, and we pray through thy son's name. Amen.
Before Tim brings our lesson tonight, we'll sing number 611. Number 611. And if you're able, let's stand as we sing this one. There will be Bible story time tonight, so if you are sending your children that way, they are now dismissed to Bible story time. It'll be back in that direction. Just follow the rest of the kids. They'll be happy to take you there. Tonight, our scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. We'll be reading from the ESV. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Brother Tim.
Good evening. Good to see each of you with us this evening. I think it's official now. If you're here tonight, you get extra credit for braving the rain as you came in. But we are glad to see you. Almost a normal crowd. But I expect some of them are at High Rock tonight as they're dropping off young'uns and staying for the worship service. I hope that's where many of them are. But you're here, and that's important, and we're thankful for that. Also, all of you online, we're very thankful you are with us as well. Thank you for joining us. And the second bit of good news is I remember what I'm supposed to preach on tonight. It hit me later in the afternoon. It has been so good to see the French family with us. I forgot to mention that this morning, but they are still around this evening, I think. I saw some of them, and we haven't yet talked them into staying, but it's always good to see them, and we're happy that they have come our way. They brought their kids for High Rock, and we're just always glad to see them. And also, I was remiss in not saying this morning when we were talking about me and the milestone I've just passed. I owe so much to my wife, Joyce. She is very much a part of what I do, and she didn't ask me to say this, I assure you of that. She would have argued with me against it. But even though many of you don't know her, you've never met her because of her disabilities that arose because of the injury and the car wreck, she is very much a part of my life. She's my biggest earthly encouragement and inspiration, and I couldn't have made it this long without her. So I just want to go on record and saying that she's very much part of what I do, and I thank God for her. She is doing better and still is very determined to be among us again in the not too distant future, and so pray for that. She is working toward that end, and I believe it will happen, so thank God for her. But now let's get into the Word of God. I hope you've got your Bible with you, that you'll join me in looking at it and reading along with me as we come to these passages. And there's going to be good things here, no doubt. Logos can be very helpful. Logos are something that people often wear on a uniform, for example. It is what will tell us this is a police officer, or this is an elevator repairman, or this is somebody else, another service industry. And that helps us to know how we should approach that person, being able to identify them and what they do, what they stand for. In Exodus chapter 28, here's something about, it's not quite a logo, but you might consider it in that vein. Exodus chapter 28, we're gonna look at verses 36 through 38, and this is talking about Aaron, who was the first high priest, and something that he would wear that would distinguish him from all others. Exodus 28, beginning in verse 36. You shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord. And you shall fasten it on the turban by a cord of blue. It shall be on the front of the turban. It shall be on Aaron's forehead. And Aaron shall bear any guilt from the holy things that the people of Israel consecrate as their holy gifts. It shall regularly be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. This is an idea that we don't often mention about Aaron and the clothing that he wore, but this was some kind of a small metal plate. And on it is engraved the words, holy to the Lord. It was to be worn on the turban that he wore on his head, or as it says there, on his forehead. It was something that would distinguish him as a representative of God. In fact, the highest representative, if you want to look at the high priest in that way. In the passage that Nathan read to us just a few minutes ago, Peter said that we are to be holy, that we as Christians are to be holy, and that applies to every Christian. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that we wear a plate on our head, kind of like Aaron did? Exactly what does holy look like? And that's what we're talking about this evening, what holy looks like. So let's get into this lesson. Let's talk first of all about how Christians are called to be holy. Let's make sure we understand that. It does apply to every one of us that is a child of God, that has been washed by the blood of Jesus. What does it mean to be holy? We're called to be holy. The word holy itself, you likely know, means to be set apart for God.
We're taken out of the general population, you might say, of the world, and we are to be distinctive in the way that we live. It means that we live in a very distinct manner, not engaging in those things that defile. James says it very well in James chapter 1 and verse 27. James chapter 1 and verse 27, he says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And it is as if the world is a muddy place and we're to go about in our white garments washed by the blood of Christ and don't get them spotted, don't get them stained. And that's quite a challenge in this world. But James said, that's what pure religion is in the sight of God, is to keep our garments unstained. In the New Testament, holy is from the word hagios. It is a word translated also as saint. And it depends on the context how you translate that word. Holy is an adjective. Saint is one who is holy, a noun. And thus that distinction in how the words are used. But here's the call to be holy. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, and Paul begins his letter to the Christians that are living in Corinth. And you know, I'm confident that Corinth was sin city in that day and time. It was well known in the ancient world as a place of immorality. Whatever you want to find, you're going to find it there. It was a crossroads, it was a seaport, and that's where people came, and when they were coming in from a long voyage at sea, they wanted some fun, some good times, and you could find all kinds of sin there. And so James begins by, or Paul rather, begins by saying this in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified is another form of that word, hagios. It is hagiazo, and that means Christ has made us holy. By his blood, he has washed us clean. And then he goes on to say, those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So Paul says, we are called to be saints. We've been sanctified by Jesus, set apart by God for his use, and now that's the way we're to live. That is our calling. That's what he said. We are called to be saints. Who calls us? It's God himself. And so that's a very important thing to understand. And then let's look again at that passage that Nathan read. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. And here's what Peter says. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. In other words, you lived that way in the past, don't go back to that. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you, and there again, the call that we've been given, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So Peter says again, this is a calling that we have. And you may notice there it says, since it is written. Well, what's he referring to there? Well, probably Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44. That's where you find those statements that Peter quotes from. And he said this goes all the way back. Yeah, that was in another covenant. We live in the new covenant today, but this is a timeless principle with God. Peter says, yes, that was God's calling then. It is still his calling now. We are to be holy, because God himself is holy. So the question becomes, how can we tell that someone is a Christian? How can we tell that someone is a Christian? Is it the fact that they wear a gold cross on a necklace? I see a lot of celebrities wearing that, and sometimes celebrities that do things that are very questionable, to put it mildly. Or is it the fact that they go to church on Sunday? Is it the fact they carry a Bible under their arm or have a Bible app on their phone? Well, all of these things are good, but the most important mark of a Christian, according to the passages we've looked at, is that they are holy. They are trying to live a life that is holy. So again, we're going to raise the question, what does holy look like? And to answer that question, I want you to turn with me now to Leviticus chapter 19. We're going to spend a lot of the rest of our time in this one chapter. Leviticus chapter 19, because here again, the call is made that we're to be holy, and there are several examples that are given in that passage of what holy looks like. So let's look at that together, Leviticus chapter 19, and look at some identifying marks of holy. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." So this was something that he was directed to speak to every one of them. All of them were to be holy because God is holy. And notice, that is the standard that we're aiming for. Now, we're never going to be like God. We're in the flesh. We're very fallible. But God says, you shall be holy. You'll strive to be holy because I am holy. And that's very important to understand. And you're going to notice in this passage, as we read through several verses in Leviticus 19, we're not going to read the entire chapter, but in many of the passages we'll look at, it says, I am the Lord. That serves as a strengthening mark. You may say, well, I'm not sure I want to do that. I am the Lord. I'm the one who's telling you that. It's not a matter of choosing yes or no. It's a matter of obeying your Lord. So that's important as we get into this, because some of these we'll say, okay, that's not too hard. Others may be more difficult. But in every case, I am the Lord. You shall be holy. I am the Lord. Now go on to verses 3 and 4. And you're going to say, hey, I've heard this somewhere before. Leviticus 19, verses 3 and 4. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make for yourselves any gods of cast metal. I am the Lord your God. And we're thinking, that sounds like the Ten Commandments. Well, it's three of them. It is indeed. It says you shall, you know, honor your father and your mother. You shall observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You'll not make any other gods before you. All of those are in the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. And that's a way of saying that what God said there is important for us. The Ten Commandments, yes, that's important. And if you want to be holy, you follow what that says. And notice also, these are daily things. Honoring father and mother, that's a daily thing, not just on the Sabbath day, not just on a Sunday for us. It's every day. And revering God and keeping, you know, all that God tells us to do, having no other gods before us. Those are daily observances. And so that's what holy looks like. Drop down to verses 9 and 10. Here's another example, and this is not from the Ten Commandments. Verses 9 and 10, when you reap the harvest of your land, and many of the people of Israel were involved in agriculture. They raised crops, they raised gardens at least. He says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. Now, I've done gardening in my past, and I guarantee you when it was time to pick beans, I picked them clean. I mean, the ones that were ready to pick. I tried to get all of them. When I dug my potatoes, I dug all of them, and I wanted to get maximum use out of all of that. God is saying, don't. Leave the edges of the field and the gleanings, that is what falls off your wagon, your cart, as you're bringing in the harvest, leave it there. Don't go back and pick it up. And you're thinking, wow, this doesn't make sense. What do you mean, God? Verse 10, you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. And again, that might be something some of them would say, well, Lord, I've invested a lot of sweat and a lot of hours in this field, and I want to get everything that grows out of the ground. God says, think about the poor. Think about the strangers, the sojourners. They need something. We see that in the book of Ruth, where Naomi, a widow, and Ruth, they come back to the Israel, and how are they going to make a living? How are they going to get anything? And the first thing Ruth does is go out to glean. And that would not have been possible were it not for the command of God. Boaz, a righteous man, observed the law of God. He was holy because he did what God said, even though the temptation was there. In fact, the ESV Study Bible makes this comment about this particular command. Thorough harvesting may reflect coveting and greed. Thorough harvesting may reflect coveting and greed. Caring for one's neighbor and helping provide for the poor and the sojourner displays holiness. If you leave part of your crop out there when you could easily have taken it into the barn, that shows you're holy. You're listening to God, you're doing what he says, and you begin to understand there's a reason here. These people need food just like I do, and God will provide, even though I may think it's not as much of a, as I could have had. God will provide if I do his will. Let's move on in Leviticus 19. Go with me to verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. And again, we're getting back into some familiar territory. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. And again, these are taken from the Ten Commandments. But again, it shows that this is everyday activities. It's not just on the holy day, as we sometimes refer to a certain day of the week. It's everyday activities that mark whether we are truly holy or not. Because how often are we tempted to steal or to deal falsely with other people or lie to somebody and swear by God's name falsely? All of these, God says, these are my commands. I am the Lord. You are to do them if you want to be holy. Then in verse 13, here's another one. Verse 13, you shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. These are crimes of opportunity. Someone that we oppress, probably because we're bigger than they are, stronger than they are, and rob them. I've got the advantage. They're away from home. I know how to get into their house. I'm going to take something that I want. And God says, no, you don't do that. And then he goes on to say in that same passage, the wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. Now, that's not in the Ten Commandments, but it's justice. It's treating people fairly. This person agreed with you, they would work in your field for a certain wage, and now you're holding back their wages. You'll say, well, I'll pay you tomorrow. Well, this is probably somebody that needs it to provide dinner, supper, as we call it, for their family, and if they don't get paid today, their family goes hungry tonight. And so God says, you don't do that with people. You treat them fairly and justly. That's holy. And then in verse 14, a very similar kind of situation, you shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Now, these are situations where somebody is at a great disadvantage. Someone that can't hear, and you curse them. Well, why would you do that? Probably as a joke or as an insult, you know, before your friends, oh, look at that person, they can't even hear me, and I'm gonna put a curse on them, and they don't know what's going on. And a person who's blind, you put a stumbling block in front of them, why would you do that? Entertainment. Hey, let's have some fun. Let's watch them fall over this stumbling block. God says, don't do that. Treat them sensitively and with respect. That's what holy looks like. And though you may be tempted to take advantage of them, you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Holiness. That's what we're seeking. Go down to verse 16. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. You shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. Here's using our words in ways that we shouldn't, or not using our words as we should. A slanderer, maybe in your translation may say a gossip. You know, you're telling people things about somebody, you found out about them, hey, this is juicy, this is really interesting, I'm gonna tell everybody about it. And God says, no, you don't do that. You wanna be holy? This is what holy looks like. You don't go around people slandering someone in their hearing. And then he goes on and says, you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I find it interesting that the NET Bible, which is a very good translation of the Greek, translates that part as, you must not stand idly by when your neighbor's life is at stake. In other words, you know something that would exonerate this person. They're on trial for their life, perhaps. And your testimony could clear them and have them declared innocent. And yet you say, well, I'm not going to get involved. I might make somebody mad by stepping in and saying this or that. God says, speak. If you know what is right and it would help another person, don't hold back. This is what holy looks like. In verses 17 and 18, look at another example. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. Now, you may not be showing it outwardly. You may smile and pretend that all is well. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. In other words, talk about it. Whatever is eating at you, whatever makes you not like that person, instead of just holding it in and letting it do bad for you, talk it out. Try to come to some resolution. And then in verse 18, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. You can do that without anybody knowing it. You've got a grudge against them. You may be passive aggressive, just not doing things that will help them. But here's the standard. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Notice again, there is why we must strive for something we don't want to strive for. Sometimes we enjoy having that hatred, that bad feeling toward other people. And God says, no, that's not right. I am the Lord. You love them. Love them as yourself. And so once again, this is what holy looks like. We've not covered everything in chapter 19, but I do want to go to the very end now, to chapter 19 and verse 37, because here is what it says to sum up everything. Verse 37, he says, you shall observe all my statutes and all my rules and do them. I am the Lord. So if you didn't get the idea before, here it is. Whatever God says, that's what we do. He is the Lord. That's what holy looks like. And when you go to chapter 20 of Leviticus, chapter 20 and verse 26, here's a little more insight on this idea of being holy. Because there again, God says, you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. We don't need to be blending in. We shouldn't try to blend in with this world. Now, I'm not saying we should deliberately, you know, try to look strange and different than other people, but we don't want to blend in and just, you know, say these things because other people say them, wear these things because other people wear them, go to these places because other people go to those places, drink these things, eat these things. Well, whatever it is, who is our influencer? Who is our influencer? I am the Lord. You shall do all these things. And I've commanded this so that you'll be separated from all the peoples, that you should be mine. So after reading that, could we say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter whether I do some of the things that are questionable of this world? And I would ask, why? Why do you want to do things that are kind of borderline in your mind? Why don't we want to be distinct and separated from the world? And let's go back to the passage in Peter that we looked at earlier, 1 Peter chapter 1, 14 through 16, because again, this is for us. Clearly, this is for us. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Be holy in all your conduct, Sunday through Saturday, no matter what day of the week, no matter what time of the day, our goal is to always be holy. Revelation 22, verse 4. Let's look at that before we end. Revelation 22, verse 4. Of course, you know that in chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation, we get this portrait of heaven. Beautiful concepts, beautiful ideas. Doesn't answer all of our questions, but it sure gives us a lot of hope. And he says this, among other things, in Revelation 22, verse 4, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. That sounds rather odd, doesn't it? God's name, Christ's name, will be on our foreheads. Does that mean we need to get a tattoo sometime while we're living on earth so we can go into heaven and say, here it is, Lord, I've got your name tattooed on my forehead? No, I think it's the same idea that we saw about Aaron. Aaron had that plate on his turban that said, holy to the Lord. And it's not so much a tattoo, it's not so much a plate, it's our life that tells the world who we really are. I mean, you can put on your, you know, anywhere on your body you want, I love Jesus. But do your actions show it? Doesn't matter what we say, what we display on our bodies, do we live it? That's what God is looking for. And so the idea is, why should I do all these things? I am the Lord. Even if you don't want to, you don't understand why I'm asking you this, I am the Lord. This is what holy looks like. Be a Christian. If you're not yet a Christian, make the decision now to obey the Lord. Be holy by obeying his command, to confess your faith in Jesus as God's Son, to turn away from sin, repenting of it, to be baptized, to wash away all your sins, and then keep on. All your life, keep on following the Lord. Be holy. And if along the way we recognize I've failed, I've not done well, then you need to repent. You need to pray for forgiveness. And if we can pray with you, if we can help you in any way, please come as we stand together and sing.
In a few moments, we'll have an opportunity for those who are unable to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning to do that in just a couple of moments. And before we partake of the Lord's Supper, for those who are unable to, we'll sing number 238. You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing.
We have the emblems available tonight. If you need them, take the Lord's Supper. If you'll raise your hand, one of the guys will bring them to you. Christ established this with his apostles, the supper, the night before he was betrayed and when he was crucified. We're to remember his body and his blood for what he sacrificed for us. Now, as we partake of the bread, we ask that you bow with me, please. Father, we're so grateful for the sacrifice that you sent your Son to for us. Father, now as we partake of this bread that represents his body, may we do so in a manner well-pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen. Bow with me again, please. Father, we're so grateful for Christ's sacrifice, for the blood that covers our sins. Father, now as we partake of this emblem, this fruit of the vine that represents his blood, may we do so in a manner well-pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen. We also have an opportunity now to give back as we've been prospered. All of us are blessed. If you would now, let's bow and give thanks for the offering. Father, we are a blessed people. You continue to pour out blessings on us each day. Now as we give back to the church for the work of the church, Father, we ask that you be with our elders as decisions are made to spend these monies wisely to spread the borders of thy kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray together. Glorious and wonderful Heavenly Father, we bow before you and we come proclaiming that you are the Lord. Father, we're thankful for all the ways that you bless us, thankful that we've had this opportunity to consider that we are called to be holy. Thankful, Father, we've been able to consider what that means in our lives and how we act and what we say and what we think. Father, we pray that in our lives we would every day remember that you are the Lord. Remember that your will is perfect. And we pray, Father, that we would allow your will to guide us, to mold us. We're thankful, Father, for the Bible, thankful for your word. Pray that we would allow it to dwell within us and make us what we should be, that we might be obedient to you and be laborers in the kingdom of our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for his love and obedience. We thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy, recognizing, Father, that at times we fail to do what we should or do those things which we know are not in accordance with your will. We are thankful for your grace and mercy. Father, we pray that you would be with us. We love you, Father, when we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Do we have any announcements that anyone would like to share with the not, then we are dismissed. Please drive home safely.